Hello, podcast listener. Looking for a short podcast that's fun, upbeat, and that talks about love and dating during quarantine in a way that makes you smile? Well, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. Tune in for love. You can listen to Love on Lockdown wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.
Watch what craftin's, watch what craftin's. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what craftin's, watch what craftin's. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. There's a new episode on my Instagram, and it's also on YouTube, so go check at Ben Mandelker to go check that out. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor Rose podcast, and he's at Ronnie Karam on Instagram. Hey Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello. How you doing?
Just great. Happy Earth Day.
Well, thank you. Love you, Earth.
Love you, Earth. What a great way to celebrate Earth Day.
You know.
Then by recapping a show about lots of people who are so down to earth, like Vanderpump Rules. Am I right?
A lot of people with such natural faces, not filled with plastic at all.
Yeah. We, on Earth Day, what we want is
What are you, texting over there? What are you doing over there?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not texting.
Whenever there's a long pause, I just imagine you over there texting, like, Ronnie's stupid.
There must have been
Hey, Mom, it's Ben. Ronnie's an idiot.
There must have been, like, a disruption in the service, because I was fully listening. Not only was I listening, I was talking directly after you finished talking, so there must have been a lag in our Skype. The joys
Whatever.
Of
Shut up. Very technology. Insecure today, okay?
Earth Day brings out a lot of emotions in you.
It really does. Like, will I ever be as big as the Earth? I'm all jealous.
I think that on Earth Day, Bravo stars should pledge to, instead of using fillers, they should use compost in their cheeks. You know, just like reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah. I do have a lot of in common with the Earth, though. Like, I'm global warming. I'm like body warming. I'm just getting, like, bigger and more polluted as the years go on. And it's getting to the point where it's just, like, it's becoming unstoppable. You know, I'm, like, flooding.
Well, basically. The Earth is, like, mad at us because it, like, Earth Day, like, 3 minutes after it turned Earth Day, it was, like, 12:03. And we just had, like, such a jolt of an earthquake here in Los Angeles. I was actually watching Vanderpump Rules. And I had my laptop on my lap, and, like, it was like, you know, Stassi's been saying I am shooketh a lot, but I was literally shooketh by the Earth while watching Vanderpump Rules, to the point where, like, I got up and I ran to, like, a random part of my apartment. My emergency instincts are so bad. I just, like, I have some strange, like, weird chipmunk instincts to just, like, dart somewhere. So I, like, was on the couch. And I just, like, it was, like, boom. And I, like, got up with my laptop, by the way. I, like, grabbed my laptop and then ran to, like, a random part of the apartment. Like, it didn't make any sense where I was. I was just sort of standing in sort of a central weird area. And Dom was just looking at me like, where are you going? I was like, yeah. I don't know. He's like, come back. Because I actually, where I positioned myself was right next to, a framed poster. So, like, I went to the one place in the apartment where something could fall off onto me. And he's like, come back here. And I was like, huh? And I was, like, all confused. And, like, I was, like, a very strange, alarmed animal last night.
I love picturing you just, like, running to, like, a glass shower to hide in.
Like, I know. Bam. I'm like, to the knife cupboard.
I'm going to stand right in front of this dish drawer, you know, this dish cabinet.
Seriously. My instincts are not good. But yeah,
my instincts are just the same no matter what's happening. I just lay there. Like, I just lie there. Nothing can change it. Every time I've been there in an earthquake, I just literally lie there. I'm usually in bed, and I'm like, wow, my bed's shaking. I didn't even put a nickel in it. Or one time, you know how I, like, home make everything? I had a desk that I put, I had made it out of like a big plank of wood from Home Depot and put it on two CD cases and then nailed something into the wall. So it was like went under that. So it wasn't really nailed to anything. The desk part, it was just kind of there.
Yeah.
And it flipped up, hit me in the face. I knocked over because it was too tall. It was like a drafting table. So I had to have this long chair. It knocked me over. That was the worst one I ever was in. And I literally just laid there on the ground. Not because I was scared or hurt. I was just like, huh. I don't want to get up.
I one time was lying in bed. And by the way, if you're lying in bed in an earthquake, you're supposed to stay in bed and cover your head with a pillow. But before I knew this, I thought you were supposed to... Well, if you're not in bed, you're supposed to like get under a table or something, right? So one time I was lying in the bed, just sitting there. And there was like a very, very minor earthquake, like a 2.8 or 3. But I felt the shaking and I was like, gotta get under my desk. So I jumped out of my bed, like threw myself onto the floor, and my knee hit the little brick that's like part of you know, like your laptop, the charger, there's like the square little square thing. My knee landed on that, and I got like such a bruise. The bruise lasted for 3 weeks, and by the time it was over, like I landed on it and then like I curled up, but I wasn't even under the desk. I just had curled up on the floor on top of this brick, and I injured my knee in the process. And then people are like, what happened to your knee? I was like, I jumped out of bed during the earthquake. They're like, the 2.8 earthquake? I was like, yes.
Oh my god. Yeah. Ben.
I don't
everybody. That's our earthquake stories. Bye.
Yeah.
I feel well, today's show is Vanderpump Rules, as we've mentioned. But we do still have a couple other things going on. iRobot, still giving away an iRobot.
Oh, yeah. Okay?
So go enter that contest. The rules are on Facebook, or on Instagram, at Watch What Crappens. Just look at the iRobot post there that Ben made, and look at the rules and enter, okay? Win yourself an iRobot. Also, we have videos over on Crappens On Demand if you're bored in quarantine and want to see our gorgeous faces. Crappens On Demand is the $5 level at Patreon. And we do a couple videos a week and some live streams and stuff like that. And also all our bonus episodes are over there. So go check it out, okay?
Yeah, and also let's do like two quick small business shout outs. I'm gonna do one.
Let me open those.
Yeah, I'll start it up while you go open one. I'm doing one by Kate McKenzie. Christ.
Okay, did you delete the ones that we already did from this email thing that you already did, actually?
I think the ones that are already opened are the ones that we've already done. So it should be okay.
Lord, okay. Yeah. Sorry,
guys,
everybody.
Welcome everyone into the process. You know, this earthquake, so much has happened. Okay, so this is from Kate. So she says that her small business makes handmade soap, body, and bath products. And they primarily sell their products to tourists at Pike Place Market in Seattle, which is so cute. Ronnie and I have definitely been tourists there. And as you can imagine, they are struggling. She says, we would very much appreciate a shout out and are offering a 10% off on all soap and scrub products. The discount code is SOAP. Find them online at www.buddhabath.net. That's B-U-D-D-H-A bath. All one word, .net. And Kate, go buy some soaps and stuff like that from, especially because, you know what, also like soap and everything like that is very hard to come by. You try to get it from Target, it's very difficult. So go help out Kate, get 10% off, get that Seattle soap, you know, Buddha bath.
Yeah, and Farah runs a online boutique with her good friend based in Connecticut, but you know what, it's online, so you can get everything there.
Well,
on the internet, okay? Because the world is on the internet now. It is called Blake Boutique. She has fabulous clothes and accessories. And 15% of each order will be donated to Direct Relief, and that is a nonprofit that delivers masks, gloves, and isolation gowns to healthcare organizations. So just go to BlakeBoutique.com.
That's great.
Or boutique, depending on what part of the country you're from, which I've just stated is the world now.
Yeah. So, go help those people out.
Oh, wait, I've got one more, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Just because I already opened it, so I don't want to forget it. This is a hot sauce business.
Yay!
I love some hot sauce, girl. Now, this is called Jason's Mom's Sauce, okay? They have two sauces. There's original and hot, and you can get them both online. They've been available at Central Florida establishments for a really long time. And let me just make sure what this website is really quick online. It is Jason's Mom's Sauce. earthcrafts.com. Mm. All right, go then, get some hotter salsa.
Yummy. Yummy, and they also have t-shirts. So looks look cute. At that. They're yeah, really, they've got a really real cute. We have a lot
good of design, guys.
Seriously, we have a lot of good listeners who are entrepreneurs. I remember when we went to our first DC show, someone came and gave us some of their homemade hot sauces that they sell. They were delicious.
Oh, absolutely yeah, those delicious. Were really
remember?
Good.
It was like we had like they're in these cool like kind of flask jars. So I hope they're doing well too. And if I could remember what their name was, delish. I would promote them more. But I can't off the top of my head.
All right, well, let's move on to some Vanderpoop rules, shall we?
Yeah, Vanderpoop rules. It starts, it's cool. We get like a little bit of an origin story to every douchebag in Los Angeles because we started bartending school with Brett and Dana learning how to make vodka tonics and stuff.
Yeah, I think we saw somebody go here already, right? Did we see Max go here? Who did we see go to bartending school? I was
sure.
Like, is this the same bartending school? And I think it is because I'm still traumatized from that episode when we saw that the bartending school is painted like Monica's apartment on Friends. It's
yes.
That fucking purple color, which, I mean, that's the color of suicide. Just take off the color. Repaint bartending school. Okay, bartending school is not cheap. Why do I have to look like I'm in a sitcom from the 90s?
Yeah. Jax probably loves that. I'm pretty sure it's the same bartending school that there's a bartending school in the Valley that's right off the 170 on Burbank Boulevard. And I feel like that's just so Dana and Brett to be right at that intersection, just under a highway, a lesser highway on a non-distinct boulevard in the Valley. It's just, it's perfect.
It's a low effort bartending school because it's called ABC Bartending School. Like, that's the lowest effort name I've ever heard of in my life. Like, get a better name. Come on. You can't.
Come
you
up
can't,
with a pun.
Something. ABC.
Like,
come
mix
on.
It up.
You just wanted to be first. And it works, you know? That's why Chorus Line, the Broadway musical, is called A Chorus Line because they wanted to be listed first.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Now I'm
I heard it
up.
From some old queen in a bar a long time ago.
All right, ABC Bartending Los Angeles. Let's see if it's the one that's... Oh, you know what? Guess what? I lied. It's in Culver City.
You know what
How
I would call mine?
Brand.
A bartending school. What
a
is
bartending
it?
School. It's in Culver City. How strange. It feels like it should for sure be in the Valley. For sure. I'm like a little upset by this.
Well, Culver City is kind of the new Valley.
It is sort of, it does lack personality. In the
like
same.
It's super
flat.
Far away and you move there when you're ready to have babies and, you know, like have decent parking spaces and stuff like that. And then people are like, oh my God, we got such a deal in Culver City.
Always.
And you're like, oh great. I get to drive a fucking hour to see you. And it shouldn't take an hour, but it does.
It's Culver City always takes forever to get to. And there's nothing very special there. It's like, I feel like it's the land of Blaze Pizza, right? Just like nothing but these weird fast casual concepts that are around, but no one ever seems to go to, but then they're still always there. It's like Tender Greens, Blaze Pizza, and like Flame Broiler or something like that, which is not that different from the Valley.
Yeah. And they have that whole section of homes that looks like the set of Matlock. They're like weird little homes from the South. Like, what are these doing here?
But then Culver City also thinks it's cool because like high tech companies have come in there, like Apple, and then Sony's in there and stuff. So Culver City can definitely like look down on the Valley. But the truth is, anyone in LA knows that going to Culver City is just generally a blah experience. It's not bad, it's just blah.
Yeah. So that pretty much explains the B team at this point. Oh, by the way, speaking of not blah, but we were talking about the B team. I had a disagreement with our friend Ryan Bailey. Go listen to his podcast because I was just on it.
Oh, fun.
And it's called So Bad It's Good. So go listen to it. It's 4.5 hours. I was not on it for 4.5 hours.
Is it 4.5 hours?
But the episode came out today and it was people were like, dude, 4.5 hours? I was like, wow, that even puts us to shame because we used to do a good 3.5, 3 to 3.5.
Wow.
We might just today. I mean, today we basically talked about what to do in an earthquake and
we can't get by the opening sign of this bartending school and there's a full episode.
I know. But anyway, go listen to that. Ryan's great, and his podcast is really taking off. So thanks
good
for having
him.
Me on there, Ryan. It's called So Bad It's Good. Go check it out.
So Bad It's Good. Okay. Did Ryan ever go to this bartending school? I'm just kidding.
Didn't we all?
Didn't we all?
Haven't we all?
Didn't we almost have it Like,
didn't we almost have it, ABC? No, we did not almost all go to ABC.
Didn't we almost have a cocktail?
This is the kind of schooling you can expect at the ABC bartending school. There's a guy who's just standing there going, if you're overpouring, you need to slow down. And if you're underpouring, you should speed up. Like, well, there you go. Here's $1,000. Thanks, Abisa.
Yeah. Counting. Counting. The exciting world of counting on pace.
Then we learn a little bit about Dana.
Yeah.
She's like, well, everybody knows bartenders make more than servers. My mom was a bartender for 30 years, so it was, like, kind of in my blood.
Yeah.
That's so sad that that's something you can pass on. And I'm wondering, like, maybe I just don't have children because I just don't want to pass on bowling alley. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah. I don't know what I would be passing on. I'm like, congratulations, kids. I've passed on to you the ability to waste hours playing Animal Crossing. You're welcome.
Yeah. Ben has kids and they're just always running towards, like, power bricks whenever a disaster's happening.
That's actually the worst. That's truly what I'd be passing on. Like, the world's wonkiest fight or flight reflex. Like, running into walls. I'm like, basically, like, when you look at insects, when you agitate, like a colony of ants and they go sprawling and all these... They just start going in circles. You know, like, where do we go? Where do we go? We're confused.
Mr. Medlicker, we had a fire drill and your son stood on my desk and started doing twirls. So, really?
Like, I'm the person who would, like, get stop, drop, and roll wrong. Or, like, duck and cover. I'd be doing jumping jacks while the rest of the classroom is under their desk.
So Dana tells us that her mom showed her when she was like 8 years old how to make a dirty martini so the mom didn't have to. And, you know, you go, girl. Okay, cool. Sounds familiar. Thank God my mom just drank wine, you know?
Yeah.
It was like as easy as just, you know, opening a box.
Nice and simple. Yeah, opening a box. So so Brett is telling Dana that Max hooked up with fake Sheena, or as they're calling her, Sheena Squared. In Vegas, and Dana's like, I thought time apart would make Max and I miss each other, and absence makes the heart grow fonder and all that, but apparently absence makes his dick grow harder. That's in my stand-up, everyone. That's in my stand-up.
She's really working that apathetic stand-up angle.
Yeah, it's never been done before, Ronnie, so I think she's going to really kill it. Never seen that apathetic stand-up angle.
Yeah. She's like, I just have no personality, and I'm really droll, and I hate everything.
I'm so droll, but then I'm going to shock you when I randomly say something extremely upfront about my sexuality. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Brett's just standing there like a greasy, like he's just all, his hair is just pure grease
pure
with
grease.
A hoodie on inside. Well, like, gross. That.
Yeah,
and I think his hoodie probably looks like, you know, like when you're frying potatoes and you like put them on a on a paper towel to soak everything up. That's probably what the inside of that hoodie looks like.
Yeah, it looks like fast food wrapper, you know.
Yeah,
and and I don't also understand why Dana is sort of saying this resentfully. She seems almost annoyed that Max banged a waitress in Vegas, and I'm like, you were the one who started. Like going out, like hanging out with Brett first. So, like, I don't understand. Like, you can't either be upset at Max and don't start sort of dating, kissing Brett, or like start kissing Brett and then be like fine when Max bangs, you know, fake Sheena.
Yeah. And Brett is such a tattletale. Brett, really, like every scene is Brett tattletaling on somebody. And he's like, but that's why I love my boy. Yeah, we need to write a book about this killer. It's like, you're trying really hard, sir. Get off my TV. Yeah. I hope they're firing those guys, right? Are they going to fire them?
I feel like maybe, at the very least, I'm hoping they fire Max, because Max really brings nothing. Brett brings basically next to nothing, but Max brings absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I hope they get out of here. The girls, I've been liking the new girls so far for the most part. Dana's on my nerves today, I will say that.
Annoying.
How dare you try and turn everybody against Sheena? Ma'am, how dare you?
How dare you? Yeah, no, the girls are generally fine. I hope everyone appreciated this Jax and Brittany free episode. That was a lovely treat for us.
I know, that was actually nice. How did that even happen? Why weren't they at the Witches of Wine WeHo Potion of WeHo Wine?
I'm sure that Brittany's, you know, like photo bucket like wedding album had arrived, so she was held up there in the house, like, "Oh, Jax, look, that was when I picked up a piece of grass.
We're not ready to go to our first wine party since we've been married."
So we get a Trixie Monocle classic as we transition to the next scene. It goes like this: "Who oh oh oh, who oh oh oh."
Bo is, you know, over there brushing out Stassi's hair pieces. Mm-hmm. And Katie and Schwartz come over to talk about really nothing. Like, you guys just go, okay? Yeah. Just pack up the fucking minivan and get out of here already. Go drop your babies at a KOA. I don't even care. I don't even care what happens to you at this point. You're boring me. Yeah, right? You're all becoming Katie's at this point.
They're like a slow-moving trolley just wafting through neighborhoods, popping in, you know? Not that trolleys pop into places, but I just sort of imagine that when they leave someone's house, they just hop onto a slow moving trolley that just sort of like you, every time you look out the window, like, oh, the trolley's still out there. Okay. like that kind of vibe.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello, podcast listener. Looking for a short podcast that's fun, upbeat, and that talks about love and dating during quarantine in a way that makes you smile? Well, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. Tune in for love. You can listen to Love on Lockdown wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Soccarellis.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Don't return to sender, it's Lauren Fender.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Let's run some errands with Emily Arin. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ava Nagila Weber.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day, you're out.
The Bay Area betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
I take the fifth with Dana Smith.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Simple as rocket science, it's Dana Easy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
Incredible edible Matthew sisters. And she ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
We love you guys.
But anyway, so Tom has an update on the marriage certificate. The last episode ended with him saying he couldn't find the marriage certificate. And we just all naturally assumed, like, oh, this is going to be like a revenge prank about the bra, you know, like the Lisa Vanderpump's bra being in the luggage. I was like, nice try, Bravo. You're going to make us wait a whole week for this. But guess what? He actually lost it. It's a for real thing that happened. He lost the marriage certificate, I guess receipt or whatever. I mean,
That's the man you married.
I'm mortified. Okay?
Have fun with that. Yeah. So then Stassi's storyline. I think Stassi is like, well, I mean, basically all I've done this year is beg to get engaged. So maybe I should yell at Kristen about something today. What should I be mad at Kristen for? Okay, today I'm mad because Kristen thinks that Bo should be able to talk to her even though I don't like her. Fuck Kristen, let's kill her.
Yeah.
Like, really? Who cares?
Yeah, they're like piling on to Kristen again. And it all starts with Katie saying, I feel like Vegas was like just such a success. I mean, we had the perfect crew there. And like, sorry, that is not a slight towards Kristen. I'm like, yes, it is. That is literally the definition of a slight. And it was towards Kristen.
Well, you're sliding yourselves because you're showing what your perfect crew is, and it equals an extremely boring show. I think that every Vanderpump Rules watcher can agree that last week's episode was pure shit.
Okay? Yeah, that was a native.
I didn't read online one person like, "Wow, what a fun episode! You guys are just being harsh." Nope, it sucked. Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. Stassi's saying that what was so wonderful about Kristen not being there, she didn't have to worry about Kristen overstepping her boundaries because that's what she does now. And she's just been really getting triggered by memories of 2012 or 13 when Kristen hooked up with Jax behind her back, etc. So it's really dredging up all these awful memories for Stassi.
Well, listen, I'm still triggered by memories of 2012 when you wore clown pirate sleeves and cutouts like you're on The Real Housewives of Orange County. And guess what? You're still wearing them. Also, bringing up this Jax thing is so ridiculous because it's just reminding everybody that you fucked Jax for a really long time. And I don't think that that's the brand you want to be associating with at this point.
And also, why is it that, like, Kristen gives you PTSD to that time, but why is Jax not giving you PTSD to that time? Like, well, that, I feel like that's almost an excuse. And that's how you know it's an excuse, because if she really were having issues with PTSD, trust issues, I think she would be mad at Jax too.
Yeah.
Because there's so many reasons to be mad at Jax.
She wants to be done with Kristen. She wants Kristen off this show, and Kristen still finds ways to shoot the show, even though she's totally being excluded by these, you know, the mean girls.
Well, the problem is that the more Kristen is excluded, the more bonkers she becomes. And the more bonkers she becomes, the more the audience seems to really enjoy her. So it's a terrible cycle for Stassi, unfortunately.
It is, and it's a total Bravo cycle that happens all the time. And Stassi actually watches a lot of Bravo. You would think that she'd learn at this point, when you bully somebody, the bullied one becomes popular.
Yeah, okay? I think at this point, what it boils down to is Carter, they hate Carter. They're sick of talking about Carter with Kristen. They're finding her to be really annoying, and they just are like, ugh, she's annoying. But that's, like, not enough, so she has to drape all these things on it, like, oh, PTSD from 2012 or whatever. But I think at this point, they just are annoyed by her.
Yeah. So Katie is telling her, well, Kristen got all of the decorations. She's basically doing everything for this party, so all we have to do is show up at least. Yeah. And then we cut to Kristen, who is getting everything organized at her house and trying to figure out how to work a poster.
Yeah, she's talking about PTSD. It gave me PTSD to that time when we had a step and repeat at, like, our first LA show, and we had to, like, erect a step and repeat, and it was really scary.
Yeah, and guess what? Never happened again.
Yeah, never happened again. Well, also partially because we made branding specific to that show, so we could never reuse our step and repeat, which is also probably good, because who needs a step and repeat at a crappin' show?
But, yeah, nobody.
I also enjoyed watching Kristen, because she had a bunch of fake cauldrons at her house that she was, like, futzing around with, and I just, for some reason, I'm, like, laughing at the idea of Kristen calling up someplace and being like, hi, I'm looking for some cauldrons. Do you have some cauldrons that I can buy? I'm in the market for cauldrons. I don't know. The idea of Kristen fake cauldron shopping is very amusing to me.
This whole thing is so Kristen. Kristen just needs to shoot with herself. I love it.
Yeah,
she's opening the step and repeat thing that, like, unfurls from the bottom, and then it slaps her in the face, and that's how her scene ends.
Like, I'm imagining the trauma she must have incurred during the slap bracelet era of the 90s. Like, you know that she was like, oh, never expecting them to curl over. And also Stassi, by the way, Stassi is so over this Witches of WeHo thing. And she's like, if the Witches of WeHo were Destiny's Child, I'm Beyonce and I'm ready to leave. At which point I heard about half of America sort of just, what's the sound of, like, squinting your eyes and shaking your head? That sound happened. That... No.
It's the sound I feel like I make when I squint my eyes, like. So then let's go to Sir. Oh, also, I don't ever want to finish this recap, okay? I was like, this show sucks. Let's talk about it for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Katie.
We're going to beat Ryan's record. 4.5 hours, you said?
Yeah. I was like, oh, Ryan, you think you're so great with your 4.5 hour show? We're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules until the quarantine's over. Katie tweeted something like,
Oh, God. All we had to do was post on our social media for the stupid wine company. It's not like Kristen actually went and bought the decorations or anything. Like, all we had to do was tag it.
Oh, my God. Do you have any pride at all? And also, are you grateful at all for just being handed money for literally only tagging something?
Seriously.
Like, do you really have to fuck over the wine company this bad? Like, make an effort. Make some kind of an effort. Jeez. And Kristen just tweeted back, we are both involved in this business and we should be proud. And I was like, good for you, Kristen. Fucking Katie.
I can't wait for Kristen to appear on Shark Tank. Seriously? I'm looking for a 5% investment. For 5% equity, and I don't know what I'm saying, but you want to buy it?
I will invest Carter taking your cameras to your car for you if you give me 90% of your company.
She'll come in like freaking wicked, you know, because on Shark Tank, they always have these like ridiculous like ways to open up their pitch where she'll be like, I'm defying gravity with wine, which is a WeHo wine. I'm looking for $250,000 in exchange for 1% equity and Mark Cuban's t-shirt.
Sorry, get out.
I know a winner when I see a winner. And that's a winner.
Okay, Lori. I'm still entertaining other offers.
Oh, so then we're at the restaurant. Vanderpump is, you know, trudging through there like, look at me, completely here because it's fun and I enjoy it. I work every day. Oh, happy anniversary, random homely lady from Nebraska.
7 years, that's when the hard work starts. 7 year itch, am I right?
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, bon appetit, everyone. And everyone's like, yay, Lisa Vanderpump.
Don't remind people of a magazine with decent food in it. We are still at Sir. Let's not kid ourselves.
So then Peter is like quizzing Brett, I feel like, about how to make a mojito, or Brett's trying to impress Peter about how to make mojito. I don't know, something silly. And then Lisa sits down in like the middle of a garden and Peter's like, so what can I offer you, Lisa? And she's like, well, I'm going to dinner after this, so I just want one single goat cheese ball. I'm being coy. Ooh.
Oh, one? Just one. Got it, Lisa. Like, he's so ass-kissy to the teachers. Anybody who's ever been to Sir knows that this is how Peter is. That's Peter's personality, sir. He gives everybody dirty looks. Unless you've got boobs up to your, like, eyeballs, you know, then he just stares at your boobs the whole time. And yes, I know, because I have boobs up to my eyeballs. I don't know if you guys have seen me lately, but if I push them, they'll go up to my eyeballs.
You're going to get a lot of Peter attention. So so then Sheena checks in, and then Dana's like, what section are you? And she just goes, garden right? Which, for some reason, cracked me up. I watched it 3 times. Garden right? Garden, right?
So she goes over to Vanderpump. She's like, hello. She's like, darling, have you got any tables waiting? Tell me how everything is.
Well, I just had surgery for my egg retrieval. Remember my egg retrieval? Thanks for the call. That was really nice for all the gifts you gave me. Not, okay. Well, we got 7 eggs.
I got 1 egg for every minute it takes for Rob to mount a TV. So, Lisa's like, well, Sheena, how about you get together with Peter? He's a reliable old dog. How about him? And she's like, no, I'm having too much fun being single, which is why all I want to be in is a relationship.
Yeah. Darling, you're talking to me. You're a desperate little hooker. All right, let's stop pretending. You want a husband. Here's the truth, Sheena. We don't get the true story of true Sheena.
I just got 7 eggs taken out. What do you want from me?
You do get Sheena's true story. She makes out with whores from Instagram. She makes paste picante sauce enchiladas in Marina Del Rey. And she's freezing her eggs for Aunt Dee to sew a crop top, you know, baby outfit for. What else do you need to know, Lisa?
There's not much more to it. And Sheena's like, well, for the longest time, I was this girl who would always have like this really positive spin on things. I'd be like, if it weren't for getting a divorce from Shay, I wouldn't have dated Rob. And if it weren't for Rob breaking my heart, I wouldn't have started with Adam. And if it weren't for Adam, I wouldn't have hung out with Max. If it weren't for Max, I wouldn't have gotten an Apple Watch. If I hadn't gotten the Apple Watch, I might not have learned about Apple Care. And if I didn't know about Apple Care, I might not know about going to the Beverly Center and be able to exchange my iPhone. And if I didn't go to the Beverly Center, I wouldn't have known that there's new Jamba Juice there. And if I didn't know about the new Jamba Juice, then I might have been really thirsty, and then I might have like walked in the road and died. So thank you.
I only have one correction.
And then Rob led to Autumn.
I love that she still calls him Autumn.
Autumn. She's like, and then Rob led me to Autumn.
So she knows basically, for the first time ever, she admits that she's like, well, you know, it turns out that all these guys, they've actually like hurt me and messed up my brain. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm like, finally, you admit that you're totally messed up by this situation. Thank you.
While she's denying that she wants a relationship. This episode is so Sheena. So Vanderpump's like, what? Let me prove that I have your best interest at heart, Sheena Bonina. Why don't you date Max? God, you're just horrible at this point.
Yeah.
Just stop. How about you actually be supportive towards somebody? Like, she's being terrible. Don't suggest that somebody date Max. What kind of monstrous fucking auntie are you?
Seriously. And Sheena's like, well, I'm really upset because Max and Bright didn't check in with me after my surgery when I retrieved 7 eggs. Did you hear I retrieved 7 eggs? They didn't check in with me. And Lisa's like, well, Sheena can't expect that level of thoughtfulness from men that aren't her husband. And you cannot expect that level of thoughtfulness from the man that is your husband. Oh, queen of witticisms. Da 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 da.
Darling, men are like buskers. There will be another right along. Right? Just throw a dollar at their face.
Yes.
Don't ask yourselves why they don't take a bath, darling. It's a boardwalk.
Men are like buses. Strange things that move that poor people get on top of.
I thought it was buskers.
Oh, God, no, I think she said buses.
I was like, wow, Lisa's really a going there.
That's a very specific analogy.
Men are like buskers. They stand in subways and sing songs that no one wants to hear.
Well, I thought, does Lisa even know what a bus is?
Yeah, that's like, what I'm thinking. You know, men are like buses. She's yes. like...
The poor people boxes, you know? Men are like poor people boxes, darling. A big box stops and people who smell like spices and hope.
Men are like buses, or as I like to call them, movable human zoos.
So Peter comes up, he's like, hi, Lisa, over here. And Sheena's like, do not look at me like that, Peter, okay? She's trying to give me your sperm.
Yeah. So Sheena, now then we go over to Dana's house, and Dana has a new guppy. I know it's a guppy because I've been playing so much Animal Crossing, and I caught a guppy.
It's a beta fish.
It was a beta fish?
Yeah, it's a beta fish.
I thought it was
beta
a guppy.
Fish is dressed like Blanche from... Golden Girls. They've always got like a long caftan and they don't move. They just like sit there in the tank like, I'm a beta fish. What do you want from me, honey?
Really?
I thought it was all week.
For the record, beta fishes and guppies look very similar.
They do?
Yeah.
Isn't like a guppy just a baby fish?
That's what I thought. But because of Animal Crossing, since I caught a guppy, I was like, is that what guppies really look like? And then I looked up a guppy like 2 days ago, and then when I saw it, I was like, it's a guppy. But now I'm thinking maybe it's a beta fish. I implore you to look at the beta fish and the guppy fish and then see which is which.
Oh, for Christ's sake. You're trying to ruin my life. Here we are. We're already like 35 minutes into this stupid
recap. No, now this
recap.
Is important because now people
now
are going to say
research.
Things. People are going to say, actually, Ben, what it really was a saltwater... clappy fish or something like that.
Okay, I'm in the Dana and Sheena scene, so let me go back here.
I mean, the beta fish looks very similar. But I have to say, I thought the fish looked exactly like a guppy.
Okay, guppy, well, just keep talking about the scene because I have
okay.
to look at it.
I need to
and
know
this, like,
who
software
our
doesn't let
team
me
guppy,
fast forward for.
Who's team who's team beta? Did you look
at it? I think it's a beta fish, but I can't tell. And there is a label on the actual... Hold on, let me see. But it's like the light is on it, so you can't tell what it is. It looks like a beta fish. Okay, now let me look up a guppy.
It probably is a beta fish, because I think beta fish are more common as pets.
Guppy. Do people actually buy guppies?
I don't think
so.
Oh,
maybe it... No, I think... Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm stumped, everybody. I'm going to go with beta
that
fish.
That moment of guppy surprise was worth all of this.
Because the guppy does have that long, that big, you
and
know, caftan tail.
I never knew guppies like were so pretty, to be honest.
I didn't either. These are beautiful fish. You know what? I'd love to say I would support them hiring a guppy for next season.
I agree. Although my one issue with the guppy is that it looks like it sort of looks like it just came back from Coachella. So I'm already a little annoyed at it.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I just ate from a fat burger truck because it was there. I'm going to go with beta fish, but I think that you're going to be right on this one. Okay, people, sound off in the comments. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
If you're a team guppy or team beta fish, like and subscribe.
Okay, so we're at Dana's apartment, and Sheena's like...
knee injury.
She's like, first of all, how are you feeling? And I was like, oh God, here we go with the eggs again. And Sheena's like, I'm trying to air it out. And I was like, gross, Sheena.
You know, your eggs. Or their source. Turns out that we get a close-up of Sheena's knee. Like, she has just this, like, gross, bloody thing on her knee.
Hole. Yeah, it's like a big bloody hole in her knee. Yeah.
Like, she got, like, overnight gangrene or something, or leprosy. I don't know. But
yeah, she's like, well, I was at the beach, and I was, like, running along, and then this guy came up on a scooter, and he, like, totally hit me over, and then I, like, totally fell. And then I, like, not only fell on my knee, I fell on my hand, I fell on my face, I fell on my vagina. I mean, huge shout out to Chanel, because the way I had it crossed over me saved my life.
Corner. Like, you know what? To paraphrase Real Housewives of Potomac and the Michael groping scene... You have an entire beach full of people with smartphones, and no one caught this on camera. Are you kidding me? So Sheena's like, "Well, my doctor told me I can't do anything active like twerking or clubbing, so I can't go to Nightingale tonight." Which is like such a Vanderpump Rules thing to say.
That's such a Vanderpump Rules
slash
sentence.
LA. Can't go to Nightingale tonight because I can't twerk or club. Doctor's orders. Fell off a scooter in Venice. You know how it is.
Yeah, and Dana's like, you're a mess, but aren't we all? It's like, God, she's perky. She's perky for someone who doesn't even have to leave her fucking apartment to shoot. How many scenes have we seen in Dana's apartment?
I'm like, could you cheer up? You have a brand new beta fish, perhaps guppy. So cheer up.
She's like, you know, Dana's talking about how, you know, her mom's birthday is the same day as hers, so she was super sad, and she just put on the Beatles and made mac and cheese and hot dogs because she's gonna allow herself to do that on her birthday. And so Sheena goes, yeah, well, okay, I told you that I've seen a psychic before, and it was like amazing because my grandma came over and she was like, love your crop top, it's like Aunt Dee's kind of thing. So I was like, amazing, so I hired one for your mom to come through on your birthday.
Yeah, and I've also made a remix of my song. It's called Good As Ghosts. Yeah, I'm good as ghosts.
Come towards the line!
Have you ever seen someone get killed by a giant pane of glass in their chest?
Oh, God, your grandma came through? I mean, geez, that's horrifying. My grandma would just be like, well, you're still not calling me. Like, I still have to come through to the other world to talk to you.
Okay? I feel bad for that Jesus. Medium. That medium that had to channel Sheena's grandma. You know, it's like, I would like to know if my grandma's here. Grandma, are you here? Hi, granddaughter. Hi, grandma. Hi. She's like, okay, I have to. I'm packing up my Ouija board.
I broke a hip. I can't even twerk or go to Nightingale tonight.
All crop tops go to heaven.
A Seema. It's like a Meemaw, but Sheena's. So Dana's like, that's like a lot without talking to me first. Like, Sheena, you haven't lost a parent. And she goes, I know, but my mom has. That's my grandma. I talked to her. Did I tell
through,
you about it?
The psychic. Remember when she came through? And then she made pottery with my mom. It was really weird.
My grandma, Seema, found a boyfriend in heaven. Like, even my Seema is getting more boyfriends than me.
It turns out that my Seema's Meryl Streep. It was really weird.
So Dana starts crying, and Sheena's like, oh my God, I'm sorry. It was just from, like, the bottom of my heart, something I wanted to do for you.
I'm a gift giver. Like, I literally gave Max a gift of an Apple Watch on Thanksgiving, and that's not even a gift-giving holiday. So, like, I'm, like, really a big gift giver. Like, my favorite part of Christmas is watching other people open their presents.
No, her favorite part is after everybody's opened her presents, crying and going, but I got you guys stuff. Nobody got me anything good. So, where's my stuff? Why am I the one who's always giving stuff to everybody?
Sheena, you gave us a penguin, okay?
So Dana's like, is the psychic like here now? And Sheena's like, no, I was just texting her because I wanted to talk to you first to make sure it's, I mean, I'm not just going to have her like knock on your door. I mean, come on.
I mean, like, is she here now? Like in this room? No. Is she physically here? No. Is she outside this building? I can't say because I'm in the room, so I don't know where she is really. I mean, do we ever know where anyone really is? Right? Am I right?
And she's like, yeah, I'm not really sure. So she was like, okay, well, good to see you. I'm really glad I didn't call that marching band over because, like, I was going to have a marching band come over and sing, like, Mom to you. But, like, I didn't know if it was going to be too much. So glad I didn't call them.
Do me a favor. If you go outside your apartment today, please don't look in the sky. I'm not saying that there is a sky rider, but if there were one, it might trigger you. So just don't.
I'm really glad that I didn't ask that stripper to come over in that giant cake that said your mom loves you, because I would be totally awkward if he was right outside your door right now. Sure he's not. I'm just gonna go make sure everything's great out there where nobody is doing anything outside your door.
Please don't listen to Light FM tonight. I'm not saying that anyone made a request for Delilah, but if someone did make a request for Delilah, it might trigger you.
So Sheena opens the front door, and we just hear, this song is going out to Delilah. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum. It's like, sorry about your mom, written in the sky. A stripper jumps out of a cake. It's like, sorry about your mom, girl.
There's like a flash mob happening. The psychic is like basically downstairs in this apartment, and so we just hear Sheena's talking to the psychic, but she's talking so loudly that Dana can literally hear it on the second floor of her apartment. And so you just hear like, hi, so my friend who wanted to do this for her, it's just like a bit too heavy for a surprise, and she's like really sensitive, and like I wasn't expecting it, like, and like I literally asked like 20 other people's opinions, and everyone said it was like great idea, including my grandma, who actually came through you, which is kind of totally cool. Only one person said they didn't like it, so I don't know.
Dana's like, Sheena, could you come here, please? She waves her over, and she's like, I'm sure, just hobbling over there on the eggs that nobody called me about. Okay.
Yeah, she limps over, a la Kristen last season on crutches.
So Dana brings her in. She's like, Sheena, I am very confused right now because it seems like you were trying to spring this on me.
She's like, I just wanted to make sure she was available if you want her. I mean,
She's like, she's available at my apartment. Like, did you tell her to come here? She's like, well, I didn't give her your apartment number. She just knows that if she stands out there long enough, she can see you come out of it, which is what you actually just did. So.
Dana is pissed at this. Now, I get that Sheena's completely insensitive. Like, this is stupid. But Sheena's obviously trying to do something nice for you, you bitch. Okay? Yeah. Like, be nice. Like, you don't have to be a dick. Not once in this entire episode did she say, look, I get that you're just, like, trying to be nice, and I really actually appreciate it. That's sweet of you. I just can't deal with that. And, you know, it was insensitive, but I know you didn't mean it. Like, she's a bitch about it. Like, why are you acting like that? Like, I get why you would be hurt, but it's just shitty, you know? And then to go tell everybody about it later. Like, can you believe she did that? Fuck you, lady. What has anybody else done on this show for you except try to ruin your relationships, Danica, or try to fuck you and then fuck you over like the other guys? Like, stop being an asshole.
I mean, I guess the thing is, you know, I sort of forgot that, like, at the beginning of the season, Sheena was treating Dana really badly. Sheena was acting like Stassi to Dana, so I think Dana probably just has her guard up and thinks that this is part of a larger plan to make Dana feel like shit, maybe. I don't know. But I agree. I thought, like, Dana was a bit... I mean, it is a little presumptuous, I suppose, but Dana could have been like, you know what? Thank you so much. Let me... it's too much now, but maybe down the line, I would love to connect with your psychic, you know?
Yeah, like, you're a dum-dum. I can't believe you would do something like that. No, I don't want you... Like, no. You know, it's not the crying or anything that bothered me. It's just, you know, like, don't... I don't know. It's Sheena. Like, that's Sheena, like, trying to be cute. And I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. So then we go over to Villa Rosa, where Beau is visiting. He's nervous. He has his Blanche Devereaux hair is in full effect. Like, the more uneasy he is, the more his hair looks like Blanche Devereaux.
Like, man, we're talking about Blanche Devereaux a lot today. We've got Golden Girls on the mind.
Clearly. Wait, when was the other Blanche? Oh, because the guppy. The guppy.
Because the fish. Yeah. The Blanche fish.
So
he comes over for a nice ass kissing over at Villa Rosa. Which you gotta hand it to this cast, you know? It's like, why pay if you don't have to?
Seriously.
You know, do it free in a graveyard, then go get some free dinner at Villa Rosa. Why the fuck would you pay for anything?
Exactly. And so Lisa brings Beau outside to the back, and she goes, well, I was thinking that after your engagement, we could have a light kind of dinner right here, just a little light dinner. And then we see this table, this long table with the most elaborate, ornate tablescape ever. Which is, I mean, we've seen it before, but it's just so funny that that's, like, Lisa's version of a light dinner is, like, sitting in this, like, amongst these chandeliers and candelabras and fine china. Just a little light dinner, nothing big.
You know, I can see what you're saying, and on TV that's all you see, and Bo's like, this is amazing, it's paradise, and you look at it and it is, but remember that it smells like shit and there's like little gnats flying all over you the whole time because it's a zoo.
That's true. So Bo is really excited to, he's really excited that he's going to get to surprise Stassi with the engagement and then surprise her at Lisa's house. And I'm like, that's nice in theory, except like literally anytime there's something significant that happens on the show, they always go and like assemble right afterwards at Lisa's house. Right? Don't they? I feel like they do this after every engagement. Like, and guess what? Everyone's at Lisa's house.
Or maybe you also get to surprise her with a free ring. that's another free thing. Hey, you want to stop? Maybe you could take the trolley here, that West Hollywood bar trolley, and grab some free condoms off, by the way. You know, just have like a little, you know, free condom sex after. I mean, yeah. Jesus.
So, so basically the people coming to the dinner, then in the middle of this, by the way, is like Stassi going to the gynecologist and squirming and not being happy. And then we find out that Jax, Brittany, Sandoval, Ariana, Lala, Randall, and Sheena are coming to the dinner, but Kristen doesn't even know about it. And Lisa's like, well, as much as I can't stand that strange inflatable person, I do think that maybe she should be there. I mean, she's been a part of your story for so many years, a part of Stassi's development. She's the reason why Stassi became as awful as she is now.
You have to water a bitch flower in order for it to bloom. Kristen was basically the shit soil that flower grew from.
Listen, also, Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, listen, I have an ulterior motive. I was planning on sawing her in half. Magic!
Also, Kristen is the reason Stassi's still on the show. When Stassi was, like, you know, trying to claw her way back into the show, or sulk her way back into the show, really. Mm-hmm. And Kristen was the only person that would hang out with her and made everybody else talk to her again.
That's true.
So, you know, like, don't bite the hand that, you
Wait,
know,
no, Kristen was, I think it was... Because I thought, like, Stassi had, when she came back, the issue was that she had to get over it with Kristen. And then they had a big summit.
No, it was Katie.
Remember,
Katie wouldn't speak to her. Like, Katie was, and that was the only season that Katie was likable on this show, because she didn't have anyone to be mean with.
Because Stassi and Kristen buried the hatchet, and then, because I thought they had, like, a big summit in Palm Springs one episode. And then...
Well, but Stassi lived with Kristen when she came back.
I think Katie brought Stassi and Kristen back together, but then after that, Stassi and Katie had some sort of falling out where Katie felt like Stassi didn't treat her with respect.
When Stassi left the show, she dumped everybody. Yeah. She stopped talking to everybody. And then Katie wouldn't forgive her because they were real friends, and then Stassi just pretended like she was nothing.
Mm.
And so Stassi had to keep going to Katie and crying, and Katie wouldn't forgive her. She was just like being a bitch to Stassi.
Okay.
And Kristen was like, okay, you can live with me. So she had someone to shoot with. Yes. She had like a storyline. She's going to be roommates with Kristen and all that stuff. And so now she's trying to get Kristen kicked off the show.
That's right.
So.
They did live with each other. That's right. It's sometimes hard to remember all the things that happened. Season 3 and 4 are like a little bit of a blur sometimes, because it was like the Veil era, and it was like Carmen and just people that are like, who was
this? Is like
show?
Constantly amazing. You know, it's like a really fun night out where you don't remember anything after. It's only the shitty years that you remember every single thing, you know, the shitty nights.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was like, that was peak James at that time too, with James and Kristen. Kristen! So, anyway, so Nightingale. So, whenever we go to this club, Nightingale, I could have sworn I saw JoJo twerking. I'm not sure. But that's a general sentiment for most of the show. I always am like, was that JoJo who was just twerking back there? I'm not sure.
Well, there were definitely a lot of jiggly Instagram Groupon butt implants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Because it was like gay night at this club. So it was just a bunch of the gays. And then all the newbies on Vanderpump Rules. So they're there. And then Dana is like next to Brett. And she's like, you know, you're the most beautiful man that most people have ever seen. I'm like, maybe like for Nell, but I'm like, who else?
Well, she's very droll even when she says that. So it's like, is this stand up? You know, she says everything the same.
It just
so
feels
then
like,
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie's watching them and she's like, run for the hills, girl. I mean, I just would not date him. Like, I don't get it. Like, I just imagine people in bed and he'd be all emotional, like, I'm really into this. And I'd be like, hell no, get out.
Yeah. She's like, he would cry after sex or something. So there's lots of fun happening. Charlie and Danica are doing the Macarena for some reason. And Brett basically has a boner over Charlie's outfit because she has these pants on that are like the sides are like not there, but they have like strings or ropes that go down to basically pass her pelvis. It's a whole thing. So Brett basically has a boner about that. And
yeah, and he chats with James for a little while about being sober and stuff. And yeah. Then he is saying, well, you know, now that Max hooked up in Sin City, then it makes me and Dana totally okay. You know, there's just one thing in my way.
Danica. Yeah. He's like, I have no idea why Danica wants to sabotage the situation. Usually I'm the guy women want to set their friends up with because they know I'm a good guy. I'm like, that is the most bad guy thing to ever say.
Yeah. I've never heard somebody like, you know, you should totally date this guy. Does he have a job? Well, he does push-ups on Instagram and YouTube. So he's like got subscribers. So.
He's vegan. Does that help? I feel like the number one thing that fuckboys do is insist that they're just good guys. I mean, look at like seasons 1 through 4 of Carl on Summer House.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah. Good people aren't like, hey, I'm a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're too busy like helping old ladies across the street and shit.
And we're getting beat up by Jax.
Yeah. So Brett pulls Danica outside and he's like, whoa, I had like 87 shots. God, I don't know why I keep using the number 87. She's like, maybe you're thinking of the number 86 from your friend Max. It's like, oh, good one. Yeah.
Oh, I somehow missed that. I was like, I didn't understand their banter. And now that I hear you say it, I understand it. And I wish I went back to the way it was. I was like, I liked it when it didn't make sense. So basically, yeah, so Brett's there with Danica and he's like, so Dana's saying that you were saying all this shit about me, that I'm like thirsty. I mean, just because I've got like a YouTube channel and have basically scammed my way to being on this TV show doesn't mean I'm thirsty.
Yeah, and she never backs down. Yeah. This robot, I think she's a bot. I don't even believe that this is a real person. Yeah. She talks like a robot. She blinks like a robot. She just has like a vacant eye, but she's like super. And she doesn't back down at all. She's like, well, I told her, I don't think you're the right guy for her. Like, I can't even imagine her and Max having sex and then you and her having sex. Like, oh, why would you want to be interested in someone you're friends with? I mean, nah.
And he's like, well, and he tells us, well, where I'm from, if you have sex with the same girl, it's okay. And the producer's like, well, where are you from? He goes, Jersey.
And she tells us, like, your friend has touched the vagina that you're touching. Your work at Sir. My God, a vagina at Sir, like a vagina or a penis at Sir is like a tray full of hot towels on a cruise. You know what I mean? Like, give me a break.
It gets passed around, everyone has it, and it's all over their faces.
Yes,
so Danica's just basically saying that Brett's just not, she just thinks that Brett's not the right person for Dana, you know? And then Brett starts talking about Sheena, and he's just like friends with Sheena. And then, because at this point, Dana comes out and she goes, you know what's funny about that? Sheena came over today and then she like brought this psychic and then she like ambushed me with the psychic and didn't even tell me. And the psychic was like right outside my door. And I'm like, what does this have to do with anything that anyone else is saying, you know?
No, she just wants to come like be mean to Sheena. And then Dana's listening to her, but she keeps pulling, she's got like these like they're not bangs, but they like parted bangs or whatever that go down the sides of her face, and she keeps grabbing just like strands of them and pulling them at the same time, and it's such a serial killer thing to do. I was watching Don't Fuck with Cats, and the serial killer on that, like, that's what he kept doing. Every time they had video of him, he would just be like pulling that one little thing of hair and looking in the mirror.
You shouldn't fuck with cats, man. I just got an alert like 2 minutes ago. It was on my phone. It popped up on my phone that said 2 pet cats in New York have tested positive for COVID-19. What a world.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Jeez.
So, so Dana's just going on and on about Sheena, and she's like, you know, she says one thing and then means another, and she, like, struggles with that. Oh, actually, Danica said that. And then Dana is like, yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, Sheena lies all the time. She's just, like, not honest with herself. You know, I just never know what to say about her. Anyway, can we stop talking about Sheena and go inside? I'm like, you're the one who brought her up.
Yeah, you brought her up. You're an asshole. Go inside. I'm sick of you. So now Lala and James are in the studio.
Yeah, Lala walks into the studio and she's like, what's up, family? And you just can see these producers are like, oh God, this white girl. You know, they go home after that and are like, well, the money was good.
Yeah, it would have to be. So he goes in and flails his hands around and does like his white boy rapping, which will never be not awkward to me. I'm sorry. I can't.
You mean you think that bounce slow, bounce up, bounce slow, bounce up is awkward?
And the way he's just like, he looks like he's having some kind of a seizure, the way he's just like flip, his hands are like flying around. And then she goes in and her voice is like,
she's like,
is she even singing? She's basically a Casio keyboard.
Yeah, she goes, solo cups in the front seat, you know I don't drive. I'm like, isn't this weird that you're singing lyrics that are implying booze or more than booze in your solo cups, and yet you're all about sobriety? Is it me? Is that strange? I don't know.
Well, she doesn't say, you know, I don't drive. She says, you know, I don't drink. So the song is about, like, staying sober.
Never mind. I thought, like, she said, you know, car. I don't drive. I was like, oh, so she has solo cups and she got a designated driver?
No, she's saying, I don't drink. She says, I don't even drink, but you have alcohol in the car. But just because I don't drink doesn't mean I can't have an open container in the car. Like, I'm still a badass, even though I don't drink. That's what I got.
I take it all back. I take it, Lala, I take it back. Your lyric works. And to quote James,
you gotta love sobriety songs. Yeah. You know?
And to quote James, this is so Kanye, though.
The guys are just like, oh God.
You know,
producer guy is like, oh geez.
You know, there is one excellent sobriety song. I think it's more of an abstinence song than it is a sobriety song, but it kind of feels like it pushes the sobriety angle too. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
We don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time. Oh no. We can dance and party all night and drink some cherry wine. Uh-huh. I'm assuming cherry wine is non-alcoholic, right?
I don't know. I don't bother with that shit. Okay? We've all got our own disasters in life. I've got food. Okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they sing their song about chips. And then James is like, oh my God, it's so much better than I thought. And they talk about how he's still having nightmares. That, like, he'll wake up sweating, thinking, oh my God, I fucked up. I'm drunk. And then realize, no, I didn't fuck up. I'm just hot.
Yeah. That was actually nice. They were bonding about sobriety and how hard it was. And it seems like he is learning for the first time. So we'll see. Hopefully that will last. But Lala is basically saying that she wants to see James do well. Jameson. So things seem to be on the up and up between the two of them.
Yeah. She wants to see James do well until the witches tell her not to. Yeah. And then she'll fuck him over again. Which should be really fun. So over at Sir Brett Willis is training Brett.
Yeah, how to bartend. And also Raquel is serving. So they keep on showing the same footage of Raquel serving the same table. I know this because we know one of the people at the table. So, like, it's always over and over again. It's Raquel serving him over and over and over again. It's like, okay, producers, can we, like, change up our B-roll here, please? Thanks.
Who is it?
His name is Pat, and he's the boyfriend of, Paul. Paul, actually, you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh my god, I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah.
How funny.
It's Pat. I think it's Pat, unless maybe it's not Pat, but I'm pretty sure it's Pat.
So Sheena is out in the smoking area texting really fast, like do you hear her nails clicking up against that phone?
Yeah, there's like people are like receiving Morse code messages, like strange Morse code messages across the country.
I know. So then Brett comes out and he's like, how are you? And she just ignores him and keeps texting, and it's just, well, oh. And then she like puts her phone down. She's like, if you'd responded the other day, I would have told you.
He's like, well, you know, I wanted to text you, but I knew you were going through all that, some shit with all the eggs and everything. And she's like, well, why didn't you text me about the eggs? She's like, and she basically is mad because he didn't text her to say like, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Yeah, but I had to rewind it to catch this. So he goes, I wanted to text you, but I knew you were going through stuff with the eggs and I hadn't texted you. And then I was like, oh God, if I text her now and said, hey, I just saw this, hope you're doing okay, then you'd get mad that I saw your text late. She's like, so you just thought if you said nothing that that would be better? You know what? I just don't understand why I'm such good friends to people who don't give it back. Like, why is everybody else unwrapping amazing Christmas presents and I don't have anything to unwrap?
She's like, I'm just like kind of over it. Like, what are you going to do when you're in like a relationship? Like, you're just going to ignore your girlfriend? Like, what if theoretically, like, I'm your girlfriend? Are you just going to ignore me? Like, theoretically, if we get married, okay? Are you just going to ignore me once we're married? And what about once we get a car? And what about if one of you want to move out to Valley Village like everyone else? Like, you're just gonna ignore me then? Like, what do you think? And also, when are you gonna propose to me? What's going on with our relationship?
He's like, but usually you text me if there's something wrong. She goes,
exactly, I call you, I text you. It's like one-sided, and this marriage is really gonna need some work. I'm telling you that right now.
I think it's time that we redo our honeymoon, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, if we're gonna redo our vows right now, you better do some work, Mister, okay?
Yeah. So he's like, this isn't fair, which is probably what he says in any situation, because he's pretty. And so then Dana
sees somebody shooting. Hey, Dana sees somebody shooting a scene. I wonder if she's going to walk right into it and go, what are we talking about? Because that's what she does in every single scene, okay? Calm down, lady. You're doing too much.
Yeah, seriously. So she swaps out with Brett, basically. He goes back inside, and she's like, you know, I just feel like, you know, we are always taking one step forward and two steps back. You know, it's just, it's hard. I got a lot on my mind. I got a new guppy. Some people say it's a betta fish. I don't really know what it is, but I think it's already dead.
She was like, well, look, I felt that you were, like, really upset, and it was a miscommunication. I'm sorry. And Dana goes, yeah, well, why did you start to cry? She's like, because I just wanted to... And she's crying again. She's like, but I just was trying to make you smile, because I know that you've been sad. And she's like, well, I definitely don't want to keep having conversations where things are, like, happening, so let's just do better. Hey, fuck off, Dana. This wasn't even your scene. Go away.
Yeah, I don't like it if someone tells me, let's just do better. I'm like, let's just shut the fuck up. How about that?
Yeah. You're going to get smacked if you tell me do better.
I know. Like, I'm already, I'm at my best. And if you can't handle me at my best,
yeah,
then that's terrible for you.
Yeah. Dana, really, I turned on Dana this episode. I don't like her anymore. Maybe I'll like her again next week, but maybe I've liked her a lot up until this point. But today I was like, fuck you. Stop being mean to Sheena. Like, everybody just shits on Sheena all the time, you know? And I know Sheena's not been perfect, but she's actually making an effort.
Yeah. Right? Sheena's actually, Sheena's had to like fall on a sword to shoot with you guys to make you relevant to the cast. So be nice to her. Be nice. Mm-hmm. Be nice to Sheena. So now we go over to Kristen carrying in a bunch of cauldrons to the Witches of WeHo party, which is incidentally at the same location where Vita's retirement party was a few weeks ago on Shaw's of Sunset.
Oh, wow. So they've got an inn over there, huh?
Yeah. It's Farmhouse is the new Mixology 101.
So Kristen is like, well, I haven't spoken to or seen the witches since the second wedding, but you know what? We're here to sell the wine and keep our nose to the grindstone.
I was just praying that Kristen would just drop all the cauldrons all over the place. I was waiting for that moment, you know, where she was going to just be carrying in like six of them in her arms, like, almost there, they fell.
Yeah, and Kristen walks in and she's working with the staff and getting everything set up, and then Katie and Stassi walk in and just like, don't do shit.
Yeah, they're like the Shining twins, just standing in the hallway, but they're actually at a wine party instead.
Yeah, they're awful. God.
Yeah. And Kristen's like, you know what? I'm doing a lot of work for this. And like, Katie, to her credit, pops in here and there. But Stassi does nothing. She doesn't even post about it on her social media. That's all she has to do.
Yeah, and then they get shots. Like, the guy gives them something to drink, and they're like, cheers. And then Stassi puts her back to Kristen. Jeez.
It's classic Stassi. I don't know.
It's nice to see Stassi back to being Stassi, but yeah. It's also, like, reinvigorating my old feelings. I'm like, fuck off, lady. Jeez, you're making me stand up for Kristen, and that is... I can't believe I've reached this point in life where I'm standing up for Kristen about something.
I know. Well, it's the paradoxical nature of Stassi, which is that we want her to be bitchy and evil like she was in season one and season two. But then when she is, then we can't help but then react negatively towards it. So it's this weird masochistic relationship that the audience has with Stassi, because when she's nice and mature, it's like, why are you here? And then when she's awful, you're like, why are you here?
Well, yeah, and it's like you want to see the weapon aimed at the right thing. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I want to see the evil, but I want to see you being evil to Dana.
Or Jax. Like,
why is Dana getting a pass?
I want to see you rip apart
the new people. I don't want to see you, like, rip apart, like, a wounded bird. Like, right. Take down some fresh game. You know you've got plenty of it there. It's like you're hunting old people. Like, you're hunting old animals, is what I... Not age-wise, but it's like you're just hunting, like, in your backyard. You're not going out and finding fresh, exciting game, darling.
I want to see her get real mad at Brittany. I think that would be delightful for the audience.
Yes, take down Brittany. She hasn't been taken down a peg yet.
Ever. Because she's too nice, like, or like, not, quote unquote, nice, you know?
Yeah.
So then the women, the witches of WeHo, gather to be interviewed by a reporter from Us Weekly who's asking questions like, what's it like collaborating? And they're all like, we see like a flashback of them all just like fighting and squabbling. And Katie's like, oh, it's actually been very easy, actually. And she's like, well, what do you guys argue about mostly?
Friend stuff. Seriously. It's not really about our business.
And we just see them arguing about, like, I fucking hate this wine. I'm not ready to do this wine. We have different ideas about the wine. Blah, blah, blah. Like, how fake they all are.
So then everybody comes to this party. It's arrivals time. And Sandoval's like, well, I've got a great idea for a plotline. How about we go play some softball against each other, Danica? Well, yeah, softball. People are going to love that shit.
I'm already dreading this. Like, I'm having flashbacks to when they played kickball on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I don't like playground sports in our Bravo shows. It's never really that. It's more entertaining for the cast than it is for anyone watching, because no one's invested in it. No real drama comes out of it. And all that happens is that the post department does a bunch of funny graphics, and that's it.
Yeah. So they're going to do that, and Danica looks totally bored with it, but she's like, I guess I should do fucking something.
Yeah, I think it was actually Danica's idea, not Sandoval's idea.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's basically the producer. Oh, yeah, it was her
idea, and his idea was like, oh, well, the losing team has to clean the other team's bathroom, bro.
Yeah, dude, the losing team gets arrested, but it's a prank.
So then Brett pulls Dana aside and Max, still getting them confused. Boring pulls Dana aside and he's like, what's going on? And she's like, oh, how was Vegas? I heard you made out with a new friend. How was that? Oh, yeah, was it amazing?
And Max is like, and I heard about you and Brett making out. And she's like, yeah, well, Brett said that you were totally cool. That he goes, well, I was trying to play it cool, but I was frustrated. I'm like, you don't get to be frustrated, Max, because she came back to you and you said, no, we can't get back together. So you forfeited the right to be frustrated by anything that Dana does.
And he's only frustrated because they told him to be. Brett was like, dude, aren't you going to be frustrated? He's like, oh, okay, I guess I'll be frustrated. It's like, okay, now we can shoot a scene. So Dana's like, whatever. Like, we can both agree that there doesn't need to be this issue because this is lame. Lame!
Meanwhile, Ariana is like, I'm 5 glasses deep in the rosé, and I'm drunk and toasty. Look at me. Look how wasted I am right now. Did you hear me slur my syllable almost? Yeah. So drunk.
And she's telling Lala, the sober one. She's like, yep, pretty wasted, and I'm loving it. So Lala gushes about James, and Ariana's like, yeah, I mean, that's great. It's not wasted anymore, so that's good. I wonder if he's got a couch I could borrow. That'd be great.
You know what I love? Flooring. Am I right, everyone? Like, wow, Ariana's wasted.
So then Stassi and Beau are talking, and he's nervous, right? Because Vanderpump is forcing him now into this Kristen storyline, and he knows he's going to get his ass kicked, because all Stassi is talking about is how he can't speak to Kristen.
Yeah, pretty much.
So he's nervous, and she's, like, sensing that something's wrong, you know? And so he's like, so is this event good? Like, is this a good turnout for this? I'm not really sure. Ariana is comparing the wallpaper to a picture on her Pinterest, so she must be wasted.
All I have to say is that my hair is at peak Rue McClanahan at the moment, so I have a lot of anxiety about being in the same room as you and Kristen. Maybe you guys can just still be friends, but keep her at arm's length. And Stassi's like, you can't do that with Kristen. You can't keep her at arm's length. First of all, her arms are the most floppiest things in the world. Like, I don't even know what the length of her arm is because it's always in motion, okay? I'm over it. I'm done.
Dude, stop stressing me out about not being friends with someone.
Why can't I just be allowed to outgrow a friendship with someone without everyone asking me about it?
So she starts going full on Stassi.
Yeah.
And crying and having a fit. And she's like, oh my God, why is this even an issue? He's like, geez, sorry. I didn't want to make it a thing. So then
the reason why it's an issue is that we've been watching this show for nearly a decade, and we've seen friends just have the biggest falling outs that you could never imagine them ever coming back from, and then being besties a year or two later. So we know that it's gonna be fine. Ultimately, they will be friends again, and everyone knows that, which is just like, don't make this mistake. Just like, lock this in, because otherwise she will be able to lord this over you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So then we see other shots of the party. Kristen's like trying to be happy and dance, and yeah, she's like one of those inflatable things out in front of the oil change place. And we get a lot of their love potion, witch potion number witchy witch or whatever. And then Lala's giving Max shit for banging the doppelganger. And then we just get a shot of Sheena and Max. And she goes, well, yeah, I like had surgery. No one called me or checked in on me. So
it's like, of course. She probably told everyone that. She's like, oh, are you the manager here? Guess what? I'm out of surgery and no one called or checked in on me. So so then Kristen corners Beau. And she's like, are we still friends? Are we friends? Is that what friends are for? Can we listen to that song together and it actually applies to us? Can we? Seriously?
Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, we're friends, Kristen. But like, can I still come up and give you a big hug? No, I just can't do that anymore.
And Stassi's like, watching from afar, so angry. Just getting madder and madder.
Yeah, she's getting so mad at Beau, and he's doing just what she wants anyway, so yeah. I don't know why she's getting so mad. And Kristen's like, so we can't be friends? And he's like, no, because if she's upset, you know, if she's upset with someone, then I don't want to upset her more. And she nails it when she goes, so you're afraid of her.
At which point, Stassi and Katie swoop in, and
they pull a Dana.
Come play with us. But they're like... So Kristen's like, oh, I'm speaking to my friend. And Stassi's like, my boyfriend, AF.
She's like, oh, it's not appropriate to fight at our wine party. So she Uggs just, away. Like, off.
Uggs away. And then Stassi just starts getting so mad. So Stassi and Beau start fighting right in the middle of the restaurant. And Stassi's like, you don't owe her anything. Do you want to run after her? Do you want to? Are you upset that your friendship is ending? Because I am shook.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, yeah, I am kind of upset. She goes, oh my God, why are you so upset about her? You keep choosing Kristen over me.
He goes, I'm not. She goes, then don't. He goes, you don't choose who my friends are, Stassi. I know you guys are bad, but she's still my friend. Why are you so affected by this? You're holding on to something weird.
You're holding on to something weird. Oh God.
You're literally holding on to a skull right now.
I don't know what Alexa's doing. She's like at a disco right now.
Did I trigger her? And,
yeah, I think so. She heard you. It was really weird.
Alexa's like, I have something to say about this.
Yeah, she's like, fuck you, Stassi.
So they're fighting back and forth. And then Stassi is like, you know, you can either go home with Kristen or go home with me. I feel so embarrassed and so weird. And I can't believe you're doing this to me right now. Look at me. Look at me. She like turns on to full monster, which is great. And even with Beau is like, Jesus, Stassi.
Yeah, and he doesn't chase her out. He's like, well, someone is not getting their fake hair extension bangs combed later. I will tell you that right now.
He's like, you're yelling at me. She goes, I don't care. I am your person. Am I not? Am I not? Am I not? Bo, am I not? Am I not? Am I not? Am I not?
That is crazy. And she's acting like a fucking lunatic. She actually put on Twitter, LOL at all the people. This isn't a direct quote, but it's something like, LOL at all the people shocked and telling Bo to run as if he didn't know he was dating a psycho already.
And I don't know if you noticed this, when Stassi finally leaves, in the background, Sheena is watching the whole thing, and you just see her eyes going like left and right, like, huh? 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 Did anyone see that? What? It was amazing.
That brings us to the end of Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah, big cliffhanger. Stassi standing curbside at the Beverly Center. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of that one. We will be back tomorrow with
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And we're going to do Summer House and New York on Friday.
Yeah, everybody. So we will see you then. In the meantime, go enter the iRobot Roomba contest on our Instagram. And check out our videos on Crappens on Demand. Get your Isolate t-shirts. And we're also both on Cameo. If you need cameos, come on and get them, y'all.
Yeah.
We sure love you.
We'll talk to you all in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, now that you've finished listening to this podcast, we recommend checking out Love on Lockdown, a podcast by Match. It's about love and dating, obviously. You'll learn how to make the most of dating during lockdown, like how to slow date, how to sext, and how to keep the flame alive, whether you're in a relationship, just started seeing someone, or you're starting something new. You can listen to Love on Lockdown on all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Love on Lockdown by Match.